So welcome to Pax Europiana, our debate about peace in Europe and about EU days. That's the section about European Union celebration days, where we build a common identity and common narrative for peace in Europe. And it's now the time for the 17th of February. That's the day of joy for the Declaration of Independence and for the independence of the Republic of Kosovo. And that's a major progress for peace and justice and freedom in Europe, because a century-long suppression of the Kosovo people came to an end with that independence. And I can just tell everybody to be a day of joy, a day of celebration, a day of really celebrating a new European peace system, which obviously on the 17th of February was creating, of course, a lot of joy for everybody in Europe who loves peace. But also, obviously, it was a complicated day for the minority and also for Serbia. And I feel the pain of everybody who is sad about the independence. And I understand and celebrate the joy of everybody who celebrates this day. It's a bit complicated, and I will explain exactly how I see this 17th of February and why it's a wonderful day, but it's also obviously was a difficult decision. And in no way the international community has taken it lightly or easily or had always the plan for independent Kosovo. It was a chain of events which made this, in my view, wonderful turn of and outcome and result possible. Under normal circumstances, that would have been impossible, because the international community is by nature very careful with such decisions, and it's also very careful with military intervention, also very careful with new states, and that's also for a good reason, because it's always winners and losers in such decisions. It's always some people's joy, other people's unhappiness, obviously. And also it goes along with harm for individuals who don't like that. There's also a lot of pain involved in separations. And never it should be done easily, lightly, or, you know, just, you know, like some fantasy projects like Catalonia or others in Europe. That's really all totally wrong. In a free democratic society, it's no case for independence of and secessionism and separatism. That must be clear. I'm totally opposing the separation of states and secessionism in the case of free democratic societies. Yeah, that's wrong. And in many cases, we have such movements in Europe, unfortunately, mostly supported by Russia, but they are totally wrong and they should be opposed. So I'm a very loud, outspoken opponent of any kind of bizarre comparison between Kosovo and Catalonia and all these things. Yeah, no, in a European Union market economy and market democracy, in a free Western state, and in any free democracy where the human rights are not infringed of any minorities, where minority rights are protected, there is no case for independence, because always it comes with costs, major costs. Yeah. Not only from the citizens of the country where there is where they lose a region, but also inside that region. Obviously, it's very costly to do state building. It's very costly also for the people inside the minority who are maybe not happy with that new status, and so on and so on, so on. It creates a lot of instability in the international system, and it's wrong. But in the case of Kosovo, it was the right decision. Why? Because of the massive, inhuman, genocidal regime of Milosevic and Yugoslavia. It was a colonial exploitation from the start, from 1912, and the things that happened in the 90s were unforgivable, inexcusable, and there was no kind of hope that in any future situation the Albanians in Serbia will and Yugoslavia will live in decent European conditions. Even today, when Serbia is already a candidate status, they treat the Albanian minorities in the south of Serbia, in the Preševo Valley, and in this southern region they have, they treat them not very good, not at all according to the standards. I mean, if you want a better proof, then it's basically quite obvious. But let me come also to the day itself, the 17th of February. It was the result of a long and difficult international process, which the international community has not taken lightly. I want to remember that it was permanent negotiations on this issue and on the Kosovo situation already in the 90s. It was a permanent international outcry. George Bush, father, the president, he imposed a Christmas ultimatum, it's famous in history, in order to stop state violence of Milosevic in Kosovo. He said he will use force in order to protect the Albanians, because states cannot kill the people. If you don't like the people, you cannot expel them. This is not how states can work. And if the Serbian state, in that sense, only thinks it's only for Serbs and everybody else has to leave, then it has to lose these territories. That is the reality. And it took anyhow, the international community was much too soft on all this issue, because it's a big step, obviously. I would like to remind you that in the year 91, when most of Yugoslavian republics declared their independence, all of them, obviously, and the Slovenians, the Croatians, the Bosnians, the Macedonians, that's really very important. Yeah? The Macedonians also declared independence on the 8th of September 91. And they made a referendum, over 90% yes, and they became an independent state. That was very good. But also Kosovo declared independence and made a referendum, and also was over 90% of the people who lived there. They were absolutely in favor of an independent republic, of a free state, of a sovereign state. Yeah? Unfortunately, only Albania recognized it. Why this happened? It's partly a mystery for me. It is obviously connected with the massive Serb anti-Albanian lobbying. It's also connected with the lack of information, lack of access towards Kosovo. It's also connected with the minor status, which unfortunately Kosovo only had inside Yugoslavia, because it was never allowed the full republic status, and possibly that was one of the reasons the international community didn't do it. But also with this confused narrative based on some events 500 years ago, which are somehow still relevant today and in these decisions in 91. And unfortunately, we could have saved a lot of people's life and a lot of intervention costs. These are all extremely costly operations. And, you know, the whole effort, it could have been saved if the international community had accepted the independence of the first Kosovo Republic in 91 on the same basis like Macedonia has been accepted. And that would have been, of course, also complicated. Macedonian case was also complicated. It also took 30 years now to get it in NATO and in the soon, hopefully, in the EU. But it was totally possible, and it was much less bloodshed in Macedonia than in Kosovo case. And also, it was not necessary to have any military intervention. With a little bit of foresight and wisdom and more history knowledge, then I'm sure the international community could have done a better decision in 91. Was it connected with racism, anti-Albanian and anti-Muslim sentiments? Maybe, you know, I don't want to speculate too much on it, but there was simply not a lot of support for the Albanian case and for the Kosovo-Albanian case. And this was already the problem in 1912, it was already the problem in 1918 and 1919 at the Paris Peace Conference. And all along, there was a real lack of international support for the poor Kosovo Albanians, because they could have had a much better situation. And the whole century on the Balkans would have maybe been much more peaceful if we had settled that issue according to the Wilsonian principles of self-determination of the people, because already in 1912 it was very clear that the majority of the people in Kosovo, in the region of Kosovo, were obviously Albanians and not Serbs. Even the king of Serbia, when he conquered this territory, went everywhere. He, of course, he didn't talk to the Albanians there, because he knew they had were visible different. But even the minority of the people from Slavic origin who were he met, there's this famous scene when he asked one of them what they are, and obviously they said they were Bulgarians. That's the situation. of that region. Obviously, the power grip, the power control of Serbia in that part of the southern Balkans, it was the last time in 1350s, yeah, or 1380s, maybe, if you want. But obviously, there was no Serbian state since then ever in that region so far south in the Balkans. Anyhow, that's long ago history, but I want to talk about this 17th of February. And it's a day of joy, but never anybody made it very easy. No, no, it was not that the international community had this long-standing plan for an independent Republic of Kosovo. There was simply not a lot of other alternatives. Because of the intransigence and the complete resistance towards a peaceful settlement from the side of Serbia. Obviously, the Milosevic was the worst, but also otherwise there was not a real kind of forthcoming. And obviously the real problem is, as I have said already in the podcast about the dialogue, you cannot make compromises on sovereignty in that sense. Once a real kind of federal model was gone after all the crimes committed and no trust left, then why to have a common state? And once you want a common state, once you want a state, then you cannot make a lot of compromises. What should have been the compromise for the Kosovo leadership in the Vienna negotiations, which took place then 2006 to 2007? You know, there is only only independence, obviously, and that was unacceptable. And still for the Serbs, and this was still there was a lot of negotiations. And I'm actually quite happy about these negotiations because they led also to the Republic of Kosovo to be a much better, more modern, and really first-class international standard republic. The whole Artisari process and the way the whole constitution of the modern Republic of Kosovo was done with all these modern, really the most modern state in Europe in many aspects. Because obviously it was done on 26 kind of intellectual thinking, constitutional knowledge, and it is a very modern and very successful framework. And that's obviously, as I have made in many of my podcasts now, very clear. That is also the reason why Germany has developed so well, because it got the most modern constitutions in the post-war setting with the help of the American lawyers. And similar American and European lawyers have helped to draft the Kosovo constitutional framework. And that was, of course, the fundament for the successful development of the Republic of Kosovo. So definitely the 17th of February, a day of joy, but in no way it was an easy decision. Obviously, Serbia was adamantly against it, and Russia was backing the Serbian intransigence, and it was actually very difficult. And nevertheless, about 100 states have now recognized Kosovo, and it's very successful. So it's a progress for peace without any doubt. And I'm actually very proud I could also partly, on some minor functions in some economic development department, also contribute a bit to the success, especially to low taxation. I'm very happy about that one. So let me say maybe what is important. I would like to say thank you very much to George W. Bush. He was the key leader in for Europe in the 2000s. I know some, it's not very popular person in Europe because of the Iraq war and because of some anti-Americanism, which unfortunately unfortunately, often, especially in neutral Austria, but many countries in Europe, they have this vague complex of inferiority, which leads to this anti-Americanism and also this kind of third way Yugoslavianism, which unfortunately we have in many cases, and I'm very sad. But it was George Bush who made it possible that the West was led so successfully towards recognition of Kosovo, and I want to thank him personally. And he is really a great European leader. And please understand it in the context of also the big enlargement of 2004. 10 new countries in the European Union and 7 new countries in NATO. I mean, this was George Bush. He is probably the man after his father who was, of course, you know, he was making the German unity and also the end of the Cold War possible. But George Bush has done enormous contribution for security in Europe and for progress And it's a great pity he was tackled by the French and Germans in Bucharest and not allowed to bring also Ukraine and Georgia into NATO, because then we wouldn't have had these two terrible wars, and the one especially in Ukraine, which is raging until this moment. But in Kosovo also he has done enormous progress. Also, of course, Bill Clinton was a great American president for Kosovo, and it's no wonder that they're all very popular in the Republic of Kosovo. Clinton obviously leading the campaign against Milosevic in 1999, the liberation of Kosovo. But Bush, obviously, he was the man who then really made independence possible and recognized Kosovo as one of the first. He didn't wait like in the 90s when Macedonia recognized and declared independence. America waited until 94 to recognize it. That created obviously a lot of instability. But in the, as they have also learned how Serbia has behaved in Bosnia especially and in Croatia, then also Macedonia was recognized. But unfortunately, it was maybe also too complicated to protect. And that I also would like to explain, because the great hero of Kosovo independence is obviously President Rugova, who has been like Mahatma Gandhi, a peaceful leader of the Kosovo resistance against Milosevic. And he was heavily criticized for it. But also he has obviously seen what kind of atrocities the Serbian forces under Milosevic have been able to do and have been very, very brutal in doing in Bosnia. And obviously, after not getting the recognition in 91, 92, it was very difficult and very dangerous to further to go into an armed confrontation, because there was not the same support like America has given to Croatia. And it was also easy access to Croatia via the seaports, and there was more consensus that Croatia should be independent. And still, on this day, it is still so unfortunate that often the lack of information and the lack of care in the Western world for the more complicated regions, like Kosovo always is, has led to the fact that we didn't recognize in 91. It would have been much better. And imagine how many people lived and in these 17 years of really difficult transition it took. And the result is the same. Kosovo is now an independent country. It's a modern and amazing, actually. The progress in Kosovo is the same like in Georgia. In GDP per capita, it's at $4,500 GDP per capita. It has modern infrastructure and modern highways, a modern constitution. It has the euro as currency. That I'm especially proud. I didn't have any aspect, but it was the Austrian National Bank which did the euroization of Kosovo in the year 2002. And they basically used the mark from the beginning after the end of the war, because they didn't want to use the dinar. And the dinar anyhow is one of the worst currencies in European post-war history. A terrible history of devaluation and inflation. So that is very good to have the euro. I want to also explain a bit, because that's always used against Kosovo, that there were the 2004 riots. I need to explain it a little bit. It was inexcusable. I'm certainly not defending any of the mob violence, because I'm completely against mob violence. But it has to be understood very much in the context what happened in 2003. In 2003, in Serbia, was the backlash against democratic European Serbia, which won on the 5th of October 2000. On the 5th of October 2000, there was a great hope. This was the moment Milosevic fell, and then he was brought to Den Haag, and then he died there. This was really amazing. Yeah? This was really the European Serbia. Everybody was dreaming a modern, Western-oriented, free, democratic market economy somehow was possible for some years, but it was not meant to be, because under the same structures of the Serbian secret services, which have committed all these crimes in Bosnia, in Kosovo, terrible atrocities, and the same people, basically, who did this kind of crimes in Croatia, in Vukovar, in Bosnia, in Srebrenica, and also in Kosovo during the 1998 already and 99. They have killed Cinčić on the 12th of March 2003, and then they have started the escalation again. Look what I say now. I have to say in the context, I'm not totally sure, because all this is still very controversial and not 100% proven. But there were then in 2003 a lot of killings again in Kosovo suddenly. Whenever Kosovo was already relatively stable and quiet, there was a lot of this kind of drive-by shootings where no assassin was ever found. And this were basically then in the context of this radicalization and the terrible backlash of the Serbian Secret Service again not taking power. They didn't take power, but they made this terrible criminal act of killing their own prime minister. And then there was this Bistrica killing, and there was also then in early 2004, there were these killings of Albanian, just first the Serbian youth in Krajanica, and then also some free Albanian youth. So there were this kind of incidents of violence where never everybody could prove who killed these young people. So I will not say that I know who killed any of them, because I don't know. Obviously, I can just read these things. I was not living in Kosovo at that time, and even then I wouldn't have known, because that's the nature of such incidents, that they shall be unknown. But and it's also possible that it was really committed by whoever, I don't know. But I want to raise your attention on one case which happened in the end of the year 98, before the war started, and it was the Panda coffee killing. It's a very important case. Yeah, it's really one of the most terrible atrocities, because more or less now the archives are open, and in Serbia there is a debate about the crimes, and now it's more or less in the open knowledge. And also Mr. Vucic has made it not really an apology, but he somehow, because there is a lot of former Secret Service officials in Serbia who make also public confessions and try to improve Serbia. And they said that it was quite clearly that it was the state terrorist organization of the special forces who basically killed Serbian children and youngsters in this Panda Cafe on the 14th of December in the year 98 in order to spark ethnic violence. And there were six young people between 12 and 18. They were killed in this Panda Cafe. Basically armed, masked people going in a youth club and shooting people with Kalashnikovs, and then somehow claiming it on the UCK. I mean, this is the methods, and this is now proven, of the Serbian secret service of Milosevic to spark ethnic violence in Kosovo. And this is the way they do it. If they have done it as well in 2003 and 2004, we will find out by time. I'm confident there will be also the time for justice coming for all these terrible crimes. This is not to excuse any of the criminal mob violence which happened in 2004 after March and during these riots. I'm totally against mob violence, and everybody should be taken to justice. But I would like to explain it in the backlash. And then what happened, obviously, there was then this, on the one hand, NATO enlargement, EU enlargement, but again a crisis in Kosovo, because also the people in charge of Kosovo at that time were extremely incompetent and caring, just really little. And it was a little bit that the international institutions really didn't know what to do. Obviously, everybody was focused on Iraq, on NATO enlargement. There were big other issues, especially, obviously, Iraq. So what happened then was the start of this Vienna negotiation process, and it was this Ahtisaari plan, and there was real effort put in again in 2006, especially when George Bush was elected the second time in 2004. In 2005 he started, and in 2006 everything was ready to get really going, and then these negotiations in Vienna started. Also the famous Austrian diplomat, I mean, Mr. Ahtisaari is more famous, but Mr. Albert Rohan, because I'm also Austrian, I have to mention him. I met him actually once. He is a great gentleman. Unfortunately, he passed away recently. And he and also the American, because at that time, obviously, the Americans were very strongly engaged. The Obama retreat was coming later. And so they have really done great negotiations, helped a lot, and also achieved a lot for the Serbian minority in Kosovo. It's now one of the best protected minorities in any European state, and they have government seats and ministers and their own communities and municipalities, and I've been in many of them, and they really live in peace and in relative prosperity. I think it can be approved. Yeah. So the situation is 2006-07, this negotiation process. And again, you know, the international community is always so appeasing towards Serbia, always trying to delay it, taking consideration on the Serbian public, taking always the steps to delay everything until the moment really the question was in 2008, how long more to wait? Yeah? Because certainly there was no movement towards any kind of understanding that Kosovo needs to be independent from the Serbian side. And so then the unilateral declaration at that moment, when again and again and again and again the negotiations broke down, I think it was the only way to do it. And that was, it was done. It was a complicated thing, but it was the right thing to do. And I'm very, very happy. And I recommended it in my modest capacities back then as well to everybody who could listen. And I'm celebrating it today. It was the right thing to do. Obviously, you know, it led to a hardening of the international relations with Russia. There's no doubt about that one as well. And also then that was a little bit the energy was gone. And in Bucharest, we had then 3 months later, 2.5 months later, already, no, only 6 weeks, basically, from 17th of February to the 3rd of April. And then the Germans and the French tried to appease Russia by sacrificing Ukraine and Georgia, with the really nefarious consequences of the wars, which we have seen then in 2008, immediately in the summer in Georgia, and obviously then in 2014 in Ukraine. So Kosovo again played a big role. Was it the right thing to do? Absolutely. Is Kosovo working? Absolutely. Could everything have been avoided? Absolutely. If we had better policies already in 91. Can we blame George Bush father on it? Yes, a bit, yes, you know, because he knew very well Kosovo. It was not that they didn't know. He put the Christmas memorandum. It was Bob Dole already going in the 90s. So the problem was not that they didn't know, but they didn't know enough, maybe. They didn't care enough. And 17 years and tragic intervention. And maybe even the Bosnian War would not have happened when 91, there would have been more courage. But I don't want to go into the Bosnian War. I will talk a lot about that terrible crimes by the Serbian militias in Bosnia in upcoming podcast. But let me conclude. The 17th February of 2008 is a day to celebrate for all Europeans and everybody who loves freedom and who loves justice. A people which was suppressed for so long in a terrible way, who was chased away, and they wanted to take the land and they wanted to kill the people. And they were, and they had killed so many massacres have happened, and so much genocidal crimes, and so really maybe remember this panda thing. Even the Serbian state secret service was going so far to kill their own brothers and children in order to spark violence, to chase everybody away. This level of brutality, this kind of heinous crimes have happened just in order for this land to evict the Albanians. I think it says everything about the intention of the Milosevic regime. And again, I can just in this podcast, because I always say, but a state is really the instrument of the society for defense and protection and for rights and for freedoms. It's not the instrument of one ethnic group to kill the other. And I'm very proud that we have reached a level of international development that at least in this case, because in many other cases, we watch helplessly, like in Chechnya. Or we have done very little, like for the Rohingyas in, you know, when a majority decides to use state force against a minority, what you really have to can do, you know, when you are part of that minority and you see the bombs falling or the automatic weapons killing your family, you can do so little because you are not armed, yeah? you can just run away and hope to survive, or you can hide in the jungle and in the forest. And when there's nobody there to help, you will die, you will be chased away. And the state as an instrument of the tyranny and genocidal intent of the majority on a minority for whatever reason is such a terrible thing. And I cannot understand that anybody justifies that. Yeah. And it's also my call for the Serbian authorities of today, 2021. I mean, you want to be in the European Union. It's very important for European Union countries to clean up the past and be honest about the crimes. And nobody will blame it on the generation of the Serbs who are growing up now. But there are still Serbs who have committed these crimes. They must be put to justice. You know, when there were perpetrators in the Peja killings, in the Panda killings, or in any other of them, at least, you know, they have to testify to say the truth and they have to go to punishment. And this is the same like in Nazi Germany and in Nazi Austria after the war. You know, the people, it's very painful, but they have to be brought to justice. Yeah, the truth must come out, and it must be an internal process. You know, you can have help, but you must be ready to do it and to say, we are sorry. We are deeply sorry what happened. And these are the perpetrators. Yeah, they will not happily live in retirement. They will have to face justice, confess to their crimes, and see the punishment for that. Yeah? This is really important for any society, because otherwise you somehow think, you know, your young people then post the Arkan posters on their Facebook, and they somehow think that Legia was a great guy, and they think that it's totally fine to fight for the Russians on the side of the paramilitaries and this kind of terrible forces in Eastern Donbass, and then they commit such crimes, and this is leads to Serbia to be a pariah state in the West. This leads to also not good developments inside Serbia, because when this kind of brutality is somehow state sanctions and somehow seen as cool, what kind of young generation you will raise? These are important issues, I think, to be addressed. And I call for Serbia to do that. And it needs a recognition. And we should have, in my view, in a more perfect world, in 2008, when Tadic was the president, it was the moment not to let him any kind of alternative, but basically not to support Serbia at that moment and to enforce the recognition. But for that, the Western world was not ready, again, in a kind of constant bad conscience that we somehow recognize Kosovo against the will of Serbia. And since then, we are in a complete mess and in a kind of retreat battle with Serbia on that one, and especially Vucic. He is doing it very meanly, this global toxic anti-Kosovo campaign. He made some inroads, but obviously he will not win. And it's really now we need to be clear with Serbia. They need to recognize Kosovo, or the EU candidate status is frozen. Because peace between the two nations requires both nations to be in NATO. Serbia also to get the euro for that as a national currency, like Kosovo has it already, and Bosnia as well. And then the road to the European Union is open. And also this internal reconciliation. That's an extra thing which Serbia definitely has to do, because we cannot, and Serbia has to conclude individual reconciliation treaties with every of the members of the region, and also with Austria and with Germany. Because we also did many, many terrible crimes wrong to the Serbs, obviously. So we need a process of peace and reconciliation inside Serbia, but with Serbia, with each of the other countries in the region, in order to clear the past, to be really ready. So that takes some time, but that process must start. Yeah? We cannot live peacefully in a political union like the European Union together, and then to decide together about European foreign policy with Serbia, who is not repenting what it did in Bosnia and in Croatia and in Slovenia and in against Montenegro as well, but mostly about Kosovo. That is impossible. So it's absolutely a condition for membership in the European Union. Maybe you will not find it in the enlargement report, but it's definitely one which is in the real world absolutely necessary to come to terms with the past and recognize Kosovo as part of it. But it's not only the recognition, it's also the real repentance of the sin and the contrition, and also the official saying sorry, but also that the people who still today live in Belgrade, who committed all these crimes, or some of them live right now in Russia, yeah, they will not forget anyhow. But, you know, then at least make it very clear, convict them in absentia and make sure they are guilty, because they are. And that's important. So anyhow, 17th of February, a day of joy, but also a day for a lot of work to clean up the past and to clean up the crimes committed in the name of the Serbian nation on the battlefields of the Balkans in the 1990s. Thanks a lot for listening. Bye.